Snap to C.J. Reed, option handoff. Al J. Henderson got a big hole up the middle. There he goes at the 50, at the 40, at the 30. Can he outrace everybody at the 20, at the 10? Yes, he does! Bullseye! Al J. all day for a 68-yard touchdown.
That's Paul Peck on the call right there, the UB Bulls and the Bulls Radio Network. That game tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, more from the Bulls right here on the Bet 1520, actually. And the Bulls are going to be taking on Ohio. They're at Ohio tomorrow. That's a 12 p.m. start. We'll have the game for you, like I said, on the Bet 1520. And that's where you can hear Paul Peck on the call. And Paul joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. Good Friday to you, buddy. How are you?
Man, I do get a little worked up. Sometimes when you hear yourself back like that, you're like, geez, I need to calm down just a little bit. But that was a big moment in the game, and it was a big touchdown, so I guess I'm okay there.
Yeah, no doubt. And listen, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's okay to get revved up and worked up. That's what makes it exciting. That's what we love what we do, right? You get into the game, and you'd rather have that than someone just kind of, you know, calling a touchdown and sounding like they're being completely boring and not giving the fans what they want. I'm going to ask you, though, that game, 48-41. The Bulls had their chances late. What did you see from the end of that game? You know, kind of how it all played out at the end for the Bulls to kind of not close the deal.
Well, you know, I mean, again, it was surprising that the Buffalo defense, that has really been the hallmark of the team this year, kind of got ripped apart for 48 points like it did. But on the flip side, the offense's ability to answer and have the quarterback C.J. Agbonah go over 300 yards for the first time in his career and really show that Buffalo might have a really good passing game was an excellent sign. You know, they fight their way back. The whole stadium thinks Sean Dolak makes a stop on fourth down that would have given them the ball at the 35-yard line with 48 seconds to go and a pretty good chance to either tie or win. And then a really questionable officiating spot that gives Western Michigan a first down by, and I'm not exaggerating, an inch and a half maybe, which I think it was clearly spotted wrong because the drive started at the 25, Sal, and the ball had to get to the 35, and it didn't, even though it got beyond an inch beyond the sticks. There was some mistakes made there, and it hurt. But as Pete Lembo, the head coach, said, that there were other plays that led to that. That wasn't why the Bulls lost, but it would have made for an even more exciting finish. Now Buffalo has to bounce back, forget all of that, and go tomorrow to a place they haven't won since 2008. So there's some challenges coming in, but it looks like this is a pretty solid upper half, if not right, competing for a MAC championship Buffalo team this year.
Yeah, for sure. If you look at the standings, yeah, they dropped the game, but I mean, they're still 2-1 conference play, and they still have everything they want in front of them. They're playing a really big game this week against likewise 2-1 Ohio. So what do we know about Ohio in this matchup and how the Bulls can attack them?
Well, Ohio has always been one of the best, most consistent teams in the MAC, back-to-back 10-win seasons. But in the day and age that we live in college football, they lost all their important players. Their quarterback from last year, Curtis Rourke, is the guy leading Indiana to its undefeated season. So it's not quite the same Ohio team that it's been. They're good. They're solid. Again, it's a really tough place to play, Buffalo in particular, but most of the MAC has never played particularly well there. So that, you know, that's got to end for the Bulls to figure out a way to go down there and maybe beat an Ohio team that isn't quite as high caliber as it's been in the years. And really, it's a pivotal game for the Bulls because their schedule gets technically easier with some of their opponents down the stretch. They've got the tiebreakers over two of the teams that figure to be at the top of the conference in Northern Illinois and Toledo, thanks to their wins. So these are the kind of games that you gotta win, then you gotta win the games that you're supposed to win, and then all of a sudden maybe they're in a chance to go to Detroit for the MAC championship. But yeah. You know, again, the defense has got to go back to the defense that we saw earlier in the year, not the one that gives up 48 points on a lot of yards on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule going forward. If you get this game, there's some opportunity in front here for them to be right in the mix at the end of this season, Paul.
Technically, the fourth easiest, sixth fourth easiest schedule in the country remaining, based on the NCAA. And there's some teams at Akron, and Kent State's winless, and Akron has struggled. And so, yeah, absolutely, there's a chance to push some wins together. That's why this one, which is never an easy team to beat and a place to win, you know, could be pivotal for where the season goes for them.
Before we move on and talk about Beat the Champ returning, basketball season is right around the corner as well. And I know Coach Halkovich, this is his second year, obviously, running the program. A lot of changes had to be made. And as you said, in this day and age of college sports, a completely new roster, basically, heading in. But I know you're gearing up for that. And what can we expect, you know, coming up here in the next, I guess, several weeks before basketball?
Yeah, I mean, there's 11 new players on the team, you know, and the core of the guys that are coming back were freshmen last year that showed some signs of being pretty good players. Ryan Sable, Anquan Boldin Jr., those guys played well in spurts as freshmen. They're sort of the leadership core group of the team now, because a lot of the new players of those 11, most of them are freshmen, a lot of international players, a couple of very promising players from London, England. So it's a very much a new look team, you know, and at this point, not a lot of expectations based on the MAC preseason poll. And it's just a matter of, you know, how coach can get everybody going in the right direction. Maybe he's uncovered some gems. So it's a work in progress, right? Again, it was he inherited a team with some players that didn't fit what he wanted to do last year. Those players have moved on. He's kept the ones that he brought in that do fit what he wanted to do, and then brought all these new guys in. And it's how quickly can you mesh together? And, you know, we've seen the good coaches and the good organizations in this day and age of college athletics, it doesn't take 3 years to ramp up anymore, because you don't really get 3 years anymore. Look at football, a new coach, bunch of new players have meshed together, and you know, and all the positives we're talking about under Coach Lembo means you can do it in 1 year, and I think that's where coach is looking for the men's team at UB.
I had a text from a friend of mine who I went to Syracuse with, who works in Pittsburgh, ask me about Alan Green and what Pitt is getting in the new UB and their new Pitt athletic director. He worked at UB and obviously oversaw a really nice time period here, especially on the basketball side. But you got to work alongside and with and get to know Alan Green a little bit. So what are they getting over there?
Alan's terrific. Yeah. Alan was the assistant to Danny White when he came in, and then when Danny White left, Alan took over as the athletic director in that mid-2000 teens there, when Bobby Hurley and Nate Oates got the basketball team going, when Lance Leipold got the football team going. Alan's a former Notre Dame baseball player, minor league baseball player. He's been an athlete. He's been a college guy. He was the AD at Auburn. Alan's just a great personality, just the kind of guy people gravitate to. He has the athletic mindset. He's worked at schools like UB, schools like Notre Dame, AD at Auburn. So he gets it. Now, all that said, every AD that gets hired this time of year has to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Figure out where the NCAA is going, and they don't even know where they're going. So it's a constantly evolving process, but if nothing else, they're getting a great guy and a terrific leader in Alan Green.
He played in the Yankees organization. World Series starts tonight. Are you a Yankees fan?
No, not at all.
What are you, Red Sox?
I'm a Mets fan.
Mets? No, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yep. That was passed down from my dad, who was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
Okay. And
when the Brooklyn, you know, the evolution of baseball in New York is you either rooted for the Yankees, or back in the day, you rooted for the Dodgers or the Giants. When they went to California, you absolutely never inherited the Yankees as your team. Then the Mets come in, And that's kind of where I got my love for the Mets. So I find it very hard to, I'm intrigued by the Yankees. They're fun to watch, but you know, there were plenty of days in my youth sitting with my buddies around the lunch table arguing because I wasn't a Yankee fan and they were in the 70s and they had an awful lot to hold over my head. So I just can't do it, Sal. Can't bring myself to root for them.
That's okay. I actually, there's a really great documentary, the 30 for 30, called The Uncivil War, about the Yankees and Dodgers rivalry that goes back to then. It's amazing. The 50s. And
I can't believe this is the first time they're playing in the World Series since like 77,
it's
right?
It's incredible.
That blew me away when I heard that.
I know. It's going to be fun. That starts tonight. But also, starting this weekend, the return of a very, very popular radio show. You know, in Buffalo, we love our football, our hockey, our chicken wings, and our bowling. Maybe not even in that order, Paul, but here we go. Beat the Champ is coming back. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so obviously Beat the Champ was on for about 5 years, 2016 to 2020. Then we stopped it during the pandemic, and credit to the guys who run the bowling centers in Western New York, the Bowling Proprietors Association of Western New York. They wanted to bring this show back. They understand people liked it. People appreciate it. It's a popular sport. It helps them grow their sport. So we figured out a way to get it back, and it's going to be on MSG now, and it won't look anything like the show from before. We've got an executive producer, Joe Chacon, who's a Buffalo guy, a former Pro Bowler, and a current TV production guy. That's what he does as his profession. He works on the Fox and ESPN bowling broadcasts, and he is bringing that same look, the same graphics, the same set, the big digital scoreboards are coming back. So the show's going to debut tomorrow night on MSG. 9:30 is the airtime tomorrow night on MSG. They'll rerun it Sunday night at 8:30 and then again at midnight. And it's just the quintessential Buffalo show, Sal. It really is. It's a bunch of guys bowling, right? And we had guys that are plant workers and machinists and exterminators and delivery guys. Like these are who are on the show. Where else can you find your neighbor, your buddy, your friend, your uncle? You're like, hey, there he is on TV. He's bowling. And the competition is great because the sport is so good in this town. And it's just a fun show. And it's kind of why I got involved in it years ago. A little bit of the keep the tradition of Chuck Healy and Van Miller, who did this show in the 70s and the 80s. I get to work with an awesome bowling Hall of Famer in Sue Novoisky, and she's so good, and she knows her stuff, and she's great at TV, and we just have fun showcasing a sport that doesn't get a lot of attention. And I've had more people, and I hope more people will continue to just say, hey, I'm flipping around and I saw that and I watched it. I don't even like bowling, but it's such a cool show and it's so Buffalo and it's so different that people watch it. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot of local sports production going on in Buffalo, outside of some high school football here and there. So I think we've got a little niche of just something different and cool.
Well, when you talk about how the show was on a few years ago, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, people might be listening going, wait, I remember that show from a long time ago, right? I'm reading this press release. It says 1959 through 89, Chuck Healy and Van Miller. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, I didn't even know it went back that long. I always remember it from the 70s. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, think of those two guys, right? You know,
yeah.
When I got here to start to work with Van at Channel 4, the tail end of the 80s, the show was just kind of coming to an end. But I remember it, and I remember Van telling me how important it was. And we would cover some bowling tournaments throughout the course of the year. And that kind of sounds strange in the sports world of professional sports and everything else going on. But I always remember Van saying, hey, in this town, this is big. This means something. So it's got a great tradition. People remember watching it as kids. Some of the names from back in those shows are still names that people remember. And like I said, it's just the ultimate Buffalo show. It's just a bunch of Buffalo guys who bowl 3-4 nights a week around town in their leagues. Compete, you qualify to make the show, and then if you keep winning, you get to stay on the show, and that's what's pretty cool about it.
All right, and then one more time, tell everybody where they can watch, when they can watch.
So it's Beat the Champ. It'll be on MSG this time, which is a little different place than we were on the last time, but it'll be right on MSG, which is, you know, where the Sabres games are, of course, and a lot of good sports there. It's going to debut tomorrow night, Saturday night at 9:30. And then it'll rerun again on Sundays at 8:30. And moving forward, it should be sort of in that time frame, depending on Sabres games and things like that. But and again, it looks great. We've got great graphics and great scoreboards and stuff, it looks no different than any network bowling show you might happen to catch on any of the other networks. So I'm really happy with it. I'm really proud of it. And, check it out. Again, it's just whether you're a bowler or not, it's just kind of a fun show to watch, and we try to have some fun with it as well.
Thanks for letting us know about it. Safe travels to Ohio. Have a great call tomorrow.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate the time very much.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Peck on the Western Hotline. Great stuff there. Beat the champ. That's pretty cool that that's coming back. I was a bowler in high school. I wasn't a great bowler, but I was a bowler. I was like the only football player on the bowling team in my high school. I actually was on the bowling team. And I think my high game was like 240-something, something like that. But that's, I was pretty good, right? Pretty good. But I didn't reach that very often. I was just a guy, I was there. I liked having fun. I bowled a little bit, yeah.
You a Wii bowling guy?
I have Wii bowled. Yes, I have.
That's,
I haven't
done
it in a long
time.
That's
where I'm good. That's where I'm good.
I got to see if there's one for that. I told you I do a VR workout. I do the Les Mills Body Combat workout. That's what I do in the morning.
That'd be cool
amazing.
On VR.
Yeah, I know. I got to see. That's a good thing. Maybe I can do that. But anyway, Beat the Champ coming back this weekend. UB Bulls in action tomorrow against Ohio on the bet 15-20. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk for a minute, then we'll take another break and get you ready for Sean McDermott with a very important injury update on the Buffalo Bills this weekend as they take on the Seattle Seahawks. That comes your way at the top of the hour.